Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's Table 40 podcast with Matt and Leslie Holiday is presented by the Sports Spectrum magazine. We're talking about faith-focused stories that you won't find anywhere else and content suitable for all ages. The magazine is a quarterly magazine. You get four issues. It comes out four times a year, and you can get a one-year subscription for just $18 or a two-year subscription for $30, and all subscriptions come with our free digital access. It's a quarterly magazine. You can subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com/magazine, sportsspectrum.com/magazine, and this is the preeminent sports and faith magazine around. If you have kids that you want to raise in the faith and they love sports, I would highly recommend the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can check it out today and order your subscription at sportsspectrum.com/magazine, sportsspectrum.com/magazine, and get your subscription today.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Table 40. Today's special guests are Buster and Kristen Posey. Buster, I was going to read off like some of your, I usually read off some of your, but like your list of cool accomplishments is too long. So seven-time All-Star, three-time World Series champion, MVP. You guys started an awesome foundation, the BP28 Foundation for Pediatric Cancer. So that's just kind of who you are. I think everybody knows who he is. I mean, I don't really have to go into the introduction part, but we really appreciate you guys taking time and coming on the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us. We're excited to spend some time with y'all. And it's fun for me to get to talk with you, Matt. I know we had a lot of, I had admired your career from afar, you know, before I got to the big leagues, and then really enjoyed playing against you. So this should be a good time.
Oh yeah, I'm excited too. We actually have a lot in common. You guys have four kids. We have four kids. We did a lot of work at Cardinal Glennon Pediatric Cancer. That I do want. Let's start out and talk about that first, because that is something that is very near and dear to Matt and I's hearts. We when Matt signed with the Cardinals, that was one of our very first things to do, was to how in the world could we get involved in the community? And we partnered with a children's hospital in St. Louis called Cardinal Glennon. And we developed this program there called Homers for Health. And honest to goodness, that was one of my favorite things in Matt's career, just the opportunity to go to the hospital and meet the kids and the families and understand their story and their struggles and their victories. And so talk to me a little bit about you guys' foundation, because when I was reading through it, I was like, you know what? We would be best friends with the Poseys. We have a lot of similarities. And so I am so excited that we get to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, Kristen, I'll let you talk about. I'm happy to jump in as well, but Kristen, I think, was the one that really inspired us to start down the path of raising money and visiting the kids. like y'all, it sounds similar that we knew, you know, as baseball players, we have a very unique platform and wanted to find a way to get back, but we wanted to be passionate about it before we did. Because it wasn't something that we wanted to start and then, you know, kind of call an audible and do something else.
Right.
So I'll let Kristen say how and why we got started with it.
Yeah, so we were, like Buster said, I knew, you know, we wanted to do something, focus on something. And I just, luckily we have healthy kids, and I didn't know really what that was. So I met a lady, I don't even remember how, it's probably been what, 6-7 years ago?
Yeah,
at least. They live in Orlando, Florida, and her son, Cannon, was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma, and he's almost the exact same age as our older twins. And so her name's Melissa Wiggins, and she was just very forthcoming about just the reality of pediatric cancer. And I think
she wrote a book, and she gave you the book.
Yeah, she wrote. So I reached out to her. I think I was on an airplane traveling to see Buster somewhere. And I said, you know, I'm Kristen. She probably thought this lady's crazy, but I said, I just want to help. And I'm not sure how that looks. And then we reached out to the Giants, and they were so supportive. So we started visiting kids in the hospital around the Bay Area. So UCSF, John Muir, Lucille Packard, just all the hospitals around the Bay Area. And Buster and I would go in and the giant set all of it up. So it was like, we just showed up and the kids were just, and their families were just so excited to meet Buster and just spend time with him. And then we've had five or six galas, I think COVID knocked out one. And just the community just rallied around us and rallied with us, I should say, not around us. And I just feel like baseball just brought all of that together, because I don't think without that platform, there could have been that big of an impact. I mean, y'all know, to bring in those heavy hitters. And so our goal, we just joined the B Foundation board. And so our goal continues to be to raise as much money as we can for pediatric cancer and just get those funds in the hands of the brilliant researchers so they can provide better treatments. What I learned over the last 6 years, 7 years, is just how toxic the treatments are for their little bodies. Most of the treatments are the same as what adults get. And so the side effects are so severe. And my friend Melissa in Orlando, she says it's either a life sentence or a death sentence. And that couldn't be a truer statement, sadly. We're passionate about it and just hope we can continue to help.
Yeah, I'm sure for you too, Matt. For me, it was always really great perspective during the season, because we get so in our own heads about how important what we're doing on the field is. And you go see a 4 or 5, 6 year old that's fighting for their life in the hospital, you realize really quick that what you do in that game tonight is really not that important. So I was thankful that it would always center me on that. And it gave me perspective that to be in that moment with the kids at the hospital, because who knows how long they've been in that room and how long they will be in that room. So just to be able to share a little bit of happiness with them was always special for me and Kristen, and something we plan on continuing to do. Unfortunately, you know, with COVID, it's been harder to get into the hospitals, but hopefully that'll all be changing soon.
Yeah. And just to encourage you guys, I mean, Matt's been out of baseball longer than you guys have, or we have longer than y'all have. And we've been able to still stay really involved, and we've been out of St. Louis for quite some time now. And it's just sweet. You know, I think when you build something that's real healthy, it's a sweet time to be able to continue to grow and continue to for it to thrive. That's one of the things that I'm also very proud of, is the programs continue to thrive, and it's been sweet for us. One of my favorite things. So it's awesome. I love to hear that. All right, let's talk about sometimes in this podcast, because I know you guys have known each other for a very long time, we like to go back to the beginning. And so I hear y'all met in high school. And so is that a true rumor that you guys were high school sweethearts?
That's true. Kristen pursued me hard.
Worked out.
It did. Good for you. All right. Then like met.
So we're from the same town. Parents still live in the same town. My two brothers work with my dad. Her sister lives an hour and a half away. So everybody's still pretty close. And Kristen and I actually went to the same church growing up. And I remember even like thinking she was cute as a little girl, probably when I was like 10 or 11. And I told our 10-year-olds that the other day, and they're like, give me like the finger down the tongue type of thing. But she was a senior, I was a junior. We were both taking the SAT at the same time. And she her maiden name's Powell. So Powell and Posey were sitting right next to each other. And she kept turning around and like asking me silly questions,
stop.
If I want to cut up with like my SAT score or something. And, you know, I'll admit I didn't have the best game back then. So I thought that she probably liked me, but I wasn't certain, and I was probably a little too scared to make a move. So she kind of like talked to a mutual friend and was like, hey, is he going to ask me to prom or what type of thing? And so then I knew it was a green light. I knew I couldn't, like, you know, I wasn't going to fail at that point. So went for it. And yeah, we dated the rest of high school there into college. Kristen went to Auburn, ended up transferring to Valdosta State, which is not far from Florida State, where I went to school, and got married shortly after college. And it's been blissful.
what really hooked me was this prom dance moves.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Too bad we don't record. You could just show it to us right now. Yeah. So
you might hurt yourself.
Yeah. Those days are over.
Days and days are over. That's awesome. And so y'all went, you went to Florida State, Buster, and then talk to me a little bit about that. Like, we have a son that is a senior, and it looks like he's going to be doing a long distance relationship as well. Or I guess he's a graduating senior. He just graduated. And so what was that like for you guys doing, you know, long distance dating?
Be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was really tough. I mean, we had some time where we were, you know, I don't remember how long it was, 3, 4, 6 months where we were, you know, broken up and spent some time apart. But it's challenging, right? Especially at that age when you're still just growing so much in your mind and figuring out who you are.
That was a little selfish.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all are at that age. We still are probably in some things, but yeah, I mean, it was tough, but you know, I joked about not being the pursuer, but I turned into the pursuer at that point, you know, in college when things weren't great. And I had to play the game, you know, a little bit. I had to play the hard to get a little bit, which I didn't really want to play the game, but I did. And it worked.
It took you a while to figure that
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
it did. If you did, it was like, you got me back.
Yeah. So, not a big game player, but I had to do it. I took a chance and it worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're really cute. I'm rooting for them big time. And so anytime we can ask the somebody that question, then it's good because they listen to this, surprisingly, but they do, and they love listening to this podcast. And so it's good to get advice from people that have been there before. So anyway,
let's go back to growing up, Buster, a little bit about like when you realized that baseball and kind of how that you could play pro baseball and ended up at Florida State. Like, tell us about like when you're feeling your love for baseball and passion for baseball started.
Yeah, I mean, I remember loving baseball before I can remember. For whatever reason, I just always gravitated to the sport. My dad was a college basketball player, really never played baseball growing up. Really good athlete and taught me how to compete, but, you know, kind of hit a point in my development where he knew that I probably knew more about the game than he did, you know, probably around high school. And I think now going through my career and seeing other guys' dads and how they have handled their career, it was kind of a blessing just because he was more hands-off and, you know, wasn't like getting a text after the game, wasn't beating on me about, so Matt, don't do that to your son, okay?
I think so far I've done okay.
No, you do. You know.
I think I'm doing okay, but
yeah, I mean, I think there's it's a balance, right? Like you want, I think as sons, we still want that like fatherly
love.
Yeah, love, but also like the pat on the back that you're doing a good job, you're doing it the right way, but also that freedom to know that you have to make your own path, right? But to get back to your question, I felt like probably my sophomore year of high school, I had a chance to play college baseball. My velocity jumped up. I was being looked at more as a pitcher back then. And probably had a chance to be drafted decently high out of high school as a pitcher, but kind of made it clear that I wanted to hit still, and ended up going to Florida State. Was drafted as a pitcher in the 50th round by the Angels. And honestly, when I got to school, I felt like I did a good job of just really enjoying being at school, enjoying, those are some of my favorite memories of life. It's just those 3 years in college and playing there, playing in the Cape Cod League in summer. And I think So I transitioned from shortstop to catcher in between my freshman and sophomore year. And after I went back to the Cape again a second year, my sophomore year, and felt like if I had a good year my junior year, I was going to probably be drafted at a place where I would sign. But again, I go back to like, I felt like I was good about not getting too far ahead, like just being in the moment and enjoying my time at FSU. And then when it came time for pro ball, it was time, you know, to concentrate on that. So, I mean, I know you weren't really looking for advice there, but I just think that's, it's very cliche, right? To stay in the moment, but as much as you can, just to enjoy your senior year of high school, you know, enjoy your freshman year of college, your sophomore year of college, because it's just really fun years that you're not going to get back.
It is. That's so true. That's what we tell Jackson. He does a really good job of it as well, you know? And so that's something that, you know, as a parent, you're looking at your kid and you're like, okay, did we do enough? I mean, cause you know, he's our first one to kind of leave the house. And that's the one thing that I really respect more than, I mean, he's a really cool guy, but that's the one thing he does really well that I have a lot of respect for, is he's a very day-to-day, be where his feet are kind of kid. And so that's why this process for us has been so enjoyable, just watching his high school year and or his senior year and whatever's next. I'm confident that he's gonna, like what you're saying, that's kind of his process as well. So it's been really neat to watch him. But one of the things I'm curious about in your college career, Buster, I heard that you caught and then you would go and you would pitch and then you would play short. I heard you did like lots of, like you played every position. You're like a college coach's dream. So anyway, Robin Ventura will tell us about that this morning at breakfast. He was like, he would catch and then he'd take his gear off and go out and pitch. And I'm like, wow, that would be incredible to see.
Yeah. That did happen. In hindsight, I don't know if it was the smartest thing to do, but when you're 21 years old, you can get away with doing that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't pitch any of my freshman year. I pitched a little bit my sophomore year. And then we needed somebody to pitch at the back end of the games my junior year. And I didn't do it all the time, but occasionally I would. Most of the time I would have time to run down to the bullpen real quick and get a few throws in before having to go straight to the mound. But there was this one game in Clemson where we had a guy start the inning and got into a little bit of trouble when I was catching. And Mike Martin came to the mound, and we all call him 11. That's his number. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Mike Martin is the winningest coach in college baseball history and just retired a couple of years ago. So felt very lucky to play under him. And he kind of walked to the mound and he goes, "BP, can you finish this one out for us?" And I'm like, sure. So walked to the dugout, took the gear off, and fortunately was able to get a couple outs there to finish the game. But yeah, it'd be interesting to know, like in 2022, if a kid could get away with doing that, or if an agent would be all over him, like, "Oh, you're not going to do that. You're going to hurt yourself," type of thing. And
that's exactly what happened.
You know, my not agent, but advisor at the time didn't say anything about it. So
that's really funny. Yeah, things have changed.
Let's go back to talk about your faith a little bit. You talked about going to the same church growing up, and talk about like just your growth in your relationship with God and where that started and kind of where you matured the most. I'm sure college, you know, a lot of times we hear college were important years in that. What's you guys' story with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think our outlook on it is like you're always growing, right? We're always trying to be transformed to be more like Christ until the day we die. And living in an imperfect world, we're never going to be perfect, you know, until one day we're alongside him. But we both had church backgrounds. I think like a lot of kids, it was go to church, check the box. Mom and dad want us to do that. You know, baptized probably around the same time, 10, 11, 12, made that, you know, can remember making that choice. And it's something we want for our kids too. That's important for us that they make that choice on their own, that, you know, we throw the seeds out there and hopefully they want to choose, you know, Jesus as their savior. But honestly, for me, Matt, my growth happened mostly in pro ball, to be honest with you. Just being surrounded, I gravitated towards people that had a stronger faith than I did, and then was further along in their walk. And just conversations, you know, I know we've talked over the year, and I've heard talk with Wainwright over the years too. You guys on the Cardinals had a similar group to where, like, when you would go out on the road, it was dinner, and it was like these were conversations we were having at dinner, you know, about like deep conversations, meaningful conversations. And I think that's where I grew. I mean, some of our chaplains, Jeff Ward, who has a big seminary in Southern California now, has been a big mentor of mine. Our current chaplain now has also been one, Brian Hummel in Arizona. Yeah. And then just friends, you know, along the game, Nick Hunley, Jeremy Affelt, and then have made other friends, you know, in this community that have helped along the way. And I think for me, I actually spoke at a church last week. It was in Danville here in the East Bay of San Francisco. And I think, Kristen, what's the number that we heard? It's like in this area, less than 5% of people have an affiliation with church. That means like just going to church one time a year type of thing. And so I agreed to speak at this church, and they made available 800 tickets, and in 2 minutes, those 800 tickets were gone. And it just struck me just like how much people are just craving. And this was a men's event, but it just struck me how much people are craving to know God, or even how to know God. And they just don't know how to. And so it's just, I just feel like in our world today, there's such an opportunity. I mean, what you guys are doing now is an opportunity for somebody to hear something that maybe they've never heard before, or maybe it's an opportunity for them to be strengthened. But one of the main ways I've grown is I feel like I used to think I could do it all on my own. Like I could have a relationship with God and Jesus and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I could just do that and I could stay in my lane and do it. But I think as time's gone along, I've realized that that's not the way that God intended us to live. And it's not the way that we're going to be transformed to become more Christ-like. It's through fellowship. It's through relationships with friends and family and your spouse and your kids, and just doing life together, but having Jesus at the center of it. Like that's what I want. That's what my goal is like to every part of my life, to eventually be that. I can't say that I fully am that way yet, but one day that's where I hope to be. So I talked a lot. Go ahead, Kristen.
Well, that's good. I love that. I agree with you. I think that it's real important that we're rooted in that vertical relationship with Jesus, and then it's going to affect everything horizontally. And I love what you said, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say, Kristen. This is really good.
I'm not as deep as Buster, so pretty boring. No, I just think as a family, you know, I'm just trying to further my relationship and grow, like Buster said. You know, our almost 11 year olds, our son really asks a lot of deep questions, a lot more than our daughter does. And what did he ask the other day? He goes, Mom or Dad, how do you know? Now, what was it when I brought up the adoption, and what question was it when he said,
I don't know.
Well, I'll get back to that because I can't remember the question, but I'm getting off track here.
You're good.
So I just know, you know, that we can't do it alone.
I think Kristen and I together, as we've grown, you know, you mentioned, you know, in the vertical relationship, how it strengthened our own marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys would attest to that as well. And it's important for us to see, for our kids to see that, you know, and for our kids to realize that that's priority number one for mom and dad. And that's kind of a tough conversation to have sometimes with your kids. That's one thing that Lee and Addie, our oldest two, have brought up to us. It's like, wait a second. So your relationship with God is number one in your life? And you're kind of like, yeah, it is. And
they're both over there starting to cry.
And it's hard for them. Right. And I have to just keep reminding them. I'm like, look, guys, you know, like Leslie said, like if my focus and mom's focus is on our relationship with God, we're going to be better parents because of it. We're going to be able to love you deeper because of that. And that's a really hard thing for a 10-year-old to understand, right? But I do think it's important for them to know it. And as they get older and they are able to comprehend that, they're going to be like, okay, all right, that's why mom and dad said that and did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's so true. And they notice things. It'll be crazy. Like the older they get, they're really going to start to notice the way you guys love each other well. And they're going to be able to say, okay, yeah, it's because they love the Lord.
We embarrass our daughter a lot. Like she's 12 now going on like 25, but she like, we, when I kiss on Les, like she gets, she's like, oh my gosh, ew. Like, so we go out of our way to like, we make her uncomfortable a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, just,
it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Is that wrong that it's so fun?
No, it's great.
She loves it, but she hates it. You know what I mean? Like, she likes that we're affectionate and love each other, but we make it uncomfortable for her.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Buster, like, makes, he'll do like inappropriate.
Whoa.
No, it's fun. Yeah.
It's fun. I mean,
it's a little too far.
It's a fine line. I mean, who knows what that line is.
Yeah.
But the thing is it makes your kids feel secure. Like, I think that's the most beautiful thing about the Christian faith and then bringing the faith into our families, the way you guys are so openly talking about your love for Jesus in the walls of your home. I think that there is a security that our kids feel because, you know, and I love that. I think that's the greatest gift that we can give our kids as their parents is like, man, I'm secure in my relationship with Jesus. And because of that, then I can love your dad well, even though he's selfish at times, even though he's messy at times, like all these things, like, it's okay. Like, God's been so gracious to me, I can pour out that grace to Maddie. And so it's just, but there is a security there that you just, it's beautiful. And I think that the kids do feel safe and loved and they can make mistakes. And, you know, that's what I tell my kids all the time is that, you know, Jesus is so good to me and I'm going to try my very best to love like he did. And I'm going to love you guys in that way as well. Like, you know, we're a family of grace and mistakes are welcome at the holiday house and you don't have to be perfect. We're all in process. And I don't know, as I've grown in my knowledge of who Jesus is, I think we've done a better job as a family to show our kids that, you know, in an authentic way. I mean,
that's really well said.
So I'm interested. How's retirement? I hate calling it retirement. How's not playing baseball been? I tell people all the time, like, are you retired? I'm like, I'm not retired. Like, I don't play baseball anymore. Like, that's not, anyways, how's not playing baseball going for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's
busy.
It's busy. Yeah. I mean, I hesitate. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I haven't missed it, to be honest with you. And we just knew, we both had talked about it for a couple of years and, it's where we were in our life and like what was important to us. There was other things that I wanted to do. We talked about not getting certain time back and being able to coach my son and my daughter this year has been great. And just feel like there's been so many lessons learned that I've been able to impart on them that otherwise, you know, if I'm in a hotel in Miami, I can't do. And like, let me be clear, right? Like, it's different for everybody. Like the way, you know, some people operate within their families completely different, not to say one way is right or wrong, but for us, it's what we felt like was best and was going to work for us. And like Kristen said, I mean, we've been busy. I mean, we're getting ready to move back to Georgia where we both grew up in about a month. One of our baby daughters is having a third surgery on her leg. She was born with some leg issues. So we've got that next week. And just, you know, just life. I mean, I'm sure you guys can relate to it as well. Just taking care of, loving on four kids is a lot in itself. And I'm very, very grateful that I have the time to invest in them right now.
That's good.
I told Buster the other day, I said, I think you're more busy now, mm-hmm. not playing, mm-hmm. you know? And he was like, totally. But the days just look so much different, you know? Cause when he was playing, I mean, y'all know, getting home late, the kids are off at school. He sleeps, tries to sleep, you know, as much as he can with four kids.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? I'm curious, what, like, how's it been for you?
You know, I think that part of it, when you've done it, you're so long, that routine, that there's part of it that I missed when it talk about like teammates and just kind of that inner circle of built in
camaraderie
and the competition that I missed, that I had to find an outlet for.
Tell them what your outlet is. That's interesting.
Well, I'm in
pickleball.
I play pickleball and basketball. I mean, I find places to get my outlet, probably unhealthily done
competitively.
But yeah, you know what I mean? Like I've enjoyed, like you said, like I've had a chance like this year of getting a chance to watch my boys play baseball together and just being around things that you missed when you were gone so much. But and then just trying to find, you know, your platform and how to use, I don't know. I guess, you know, when you're in baseball, you know what your platform is and you sort of know your influence, your sphere of influence, and how to, you know, I felt like, you know, share the gospel with people. And so just trying to find like kind of what's next and how to do that and being involved with the college kids. And we do Bible studies for our athletes at Oklahoma State. And so we've found sort of
found a good rhythm,
a new routine. You know, I think the routine that you're used to in baseball, you know, we're just used to it. You know, you go to spring training, you go to the season, and you know, you go to off season. And so finding that new rhythm of life, it took us a little bit, but you know, I think we're in a good spot, and we moved back to where, you know, we're from in Oklahoma. And so just kind of moving out of a city, like you guys, you know, we've lived in big cities for a long time. And so finding that rhythm of what it's like to live back in a smaller town and what that looks like. But all in all, it's been good. It's been good, you know, but I, you know, there's definitely some things that you miss, but so that's what I would say.
I don't know about you, Kristen, but the one thing I've enjoyed the most is just having Matt like this involved. And so we always had a great marriage when he played, and the kids loved it. They loved going to the field and they loved the whole thing. Like with the Cardinals, there was a lot of really neat families, I'm sure very similar to the Giants, and we're all similar ages and all of that stuff. But when it was over and Matt was home and he's at dinner every night and he's going to practices and all of those things, like it's really brought us a lot closer. And so, because there's things about him that I've always admired and respected, but they were kind of further away, because it was like things about him on the baseball field that I'm like, you know what? I love that about my man. Like he is consistent. He perseveres. He's tough. He's a great teammate, all of those things. But then when he got to come home, I was like, he's consistent. He perseveres. He's a great teammate. Like all of these neat things in our house. And it's been so cool for me to see like my older sons just around him all the time. And I love that. I love that. I was telling a young couple the other day, like we really made a lot of sacrifices during Matt's career to stay together as a family. Like we did things very in an untraditional manner to stay together as a family. And I'm really glad we invested in that way. And so, cause when it was over, we still really knew each other, which sounds funny, but you guys get it. Cause y'all played for a long, long time. And anyway, it's just been sweet. It's been a sweet time, but the rhythm was a little bit hard to figure out at first, just because the calendar year looks a lot different than it did before, you know. And we were walking through a place, I guess it was yesterday, they're playing at Globe Life. And so we got to go see the new locker room and everything for the Rangers. And anyway, and they had this little sign up before, or it was like this little, just a sign, right, of what uniform they were supposed to wear that day. And so it was like the little Rangers uniform, and then you walk into the locker room. And I was thinking as I saw that, I was like, golly, I bet the transition for like Buster and Matt, that must be really hard, because they even knew what they were supposed to wear, like belt, yeah, socks, pants, jersey, like hat, like they had that assigned to them before they even went into work. Like, this is what they're wearing today. And so I think that like little things like that, I can't imagine the transition that y'all had coming back into home, where we're like, man, we don't care what you wear, just get something on fast and let's go. Like, you know, so it's been kind of wild, but we've been at it for unofficially retired for quite some time now. And I'm loving it. So it's great.
When you get old enough to like start putting you in Hall of Fames, you're like, wait a second. I'm like, I get elected to the Cardinals Hall of Fame. And so like, I'm like, wait, how many years have I not played? Like, what in the world? I feel like I could still do it, but I probably can't. But
it's wild. Okay, we have two more questions for you. And then I know y'all have to get going, even though I could talk to you all day because there's so many, like, parenting. I mean, there's so, maybe we have to round two with you guys and talk parenting and what it's like now that you moved back to Georgia, because that'll be interesting. So
that's anyway, interesting. I feel like we're a little bit on like a holding pattern, you know. Yeah. He retired and we've always had a plan to move back to Georgia, but now it's real. And it's like, I mean, this has been home for us. I mean, we did the same as y'all. We would go back to Georgia for the off season. Always went to spring training. We never missed a day being together as a family in spring training. And then here was the season. So it was like, boom, boom, boom. And then our kids did 2 years of kindergarten. And we were like, okay, we should probably get a little more consistency in their routine. So we stayed out here in the off season, did not go back to Georgia, and then just pulled them for spring training and had a tutor. So we've always known we were going to go back to Georgia, but now that it's happening, it's a, yeah. I mean, this has been home for a long time. So I feel like we've kind of been in a holding pattern, and then Ada's having surgery next week. So that's been on the calendar for a long time. But I think once we get back to Georgia and settled and.
Kristen loves transitions. She loves like, that was hard.
It'd be great. All right. Here's my last question for y'all. If you could witness any miracle in the Bible, what would it be and why? It's a tough question. I should have emailed you before.
It's not that tough. I
mean, there's a lot of miracles. Jesus was busy when he was walking around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. This is kind of a random one, but when Jesus goes and exorcises the demons and puts them into the pigs, I just think that would have been really cool to see.
I know.
I don't have a great reason why, other than like every time I read that, I'm just kind of blown away by it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one.
All right, I'll ask my question and you can think about it and then we'll come back to you. So my last question is, so table 40, we kind of came up with this out of like, sitting around the table and we played, like, we like to have people over to the house and just sitting around with teammates and friends and having dinner and like you talked about, like with teammates or whatever. So if you had dinner tonight around a big table, your family's already there, you get about 6 or 10 people. It could be former teammates, it could be like dead people, it could be
anybody
around your table. Who's there and what are you eating?
All right, Kristen, who's there?
Cool. I mean, I would think you.
So family's already there?
Family's there.
You would go with old presidents.
I was thinking more like relationships that we've had.
No, it could be anything. It could be anything. You could bring a couple presidents if you'd like.
Yeah. I mean, Buster like reads about old presidents, so I thought that would be.
Like just calling
Theodore Roosevelt or
calling something. Me out for being a nerd.
You're not alone. Like we've had a
really wide variety of
Abe Lincoln's been at some tables, Alexander the Great. I mean there's been some really funny answers over the years.
We've had Tom Brady, we've had John Wooden, we've had Michael Jordan, we've had
I don't know, my mind went more towards like people that have been important in our lives along the way. 6 to 10. I mean, we got family there already. For me, I'll go with Jeff Orge, who I mentioned, mentor of mine. I'll say Nick Hundley's there, AFL, Matt Cain. Gosh, this is a tough one because if people listen to this and they're not at the table, then we're going to hurt feelings, right? I've been a big golf fan, and I'll be a little kid right now, and was like a huge Tiger Woods fan as a kid. And obviously anybody who's followed that saw what he went through in like 2008, 2009. And like, you're always looking for redemption, right? Like you're looking to see somebody who's made progress. I think I would like to have him at the table just because I'd like to pick his brain and see like what his, just asking questions about his last 20 years. She, you know how much I was kind of hurt when Tiger went downhill.
Yeah, you retired your TW hat.
Yeah, I did.
You can get it back now.
I think I would choose Dana Perino from Fox News. I really like her.
How come?
Well, I love listening to her.
Okay.
You know, she looks so youthful, but it's because she doesn't have any kids.
Oh.
Yeah, you could ask her, like, how did you do that? Your skin looks amazing.
Amazing. And she'll say, you know what? I don't have kids. I'm like, bingo.
I'm guessing this is the first one y'all done with Dana Perino at the table.
Yep. That's fine. We've had some weird ones, though. It's not the weirdest one we've had.
I don't know. I'm not really, I don't watch a lot of movies. I'm not very, I don't know. Who would you pick for me? I'd probably pick Cate Blanchett just because she's hilarious. My good friend in Lafayette.
Yeah. That's a good question. That's a good question. That's a good one.
And that's how we are, like old teammates and stuff. Like the further you get away from seeing your people all the time, like for us, like if we think about a table in good dinner and fellowship, it always goes back to
the Wainwrights, the Carpenters, Skip Schumacher,
the people you miss
that you don't get to see that much as you used to. You know, you miss seeing. So we always,
similar to Dan Perino.
So similar.
I'm gonna watch her today and just wish that I was having dinner with her and eating some good sushi.
Sushi. What was the food? What's the food gonna be?
I have some really good sushi. Have y'all ever been to Sugarfish in LA?
No, but that sounds amazing. It does sound so
good. You like sushi?
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay. If you're ever in LA, go to Sugarfish. Is that what it's called? Sugarfin? Mm-hmm. Sugarfish?
Yeah, it's nothing fancy. It's good though.
Yeah.
I probably just go with some good Southern food, just some good Southern
steak
cooking. Yeah, we can throw steaks in there too. But yeah, just some good old bad for you food that you can eat a couple times a year and get away with it.
Nice.
That's good. I love it. This has been fun.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. I know you guys are super busy.
Yeah, four kids, pending move. Pending surgery. I'll be praying for twins, your little two. One.
That's amazing.
Yeah, twins times two.
Yeah, it has been fun. Thank you all for having us on.
Oh, yeah, this has been great. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for listening to Table 40 with Matt and Leslie Holiday, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports intersecting with faith, visit sportsspectrum.com.